All right, the book of Jude once again this evening. The book of Jude, chapter 1. There's still only one chapter. Tonight we begin with verse 5. Title of the message tonight is Poisonous People. And when I started preparing, I said, we're going to cover 5 through 15. Then I got to looking, and I said, okay, that's a little aggressive. We'll go to 5:11. Then I got to really getting into it, and I decided we better do 5 through 7, or y'all be here all night. So, you're welcome. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Let's stop right there. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do praise you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word tonight. And we pray, Lord, for your guidance, knowing that we will not understand of ourselves. And so, Lord, we pray that you will provide your Spirit, that He may guide us to all truth as we look at this portion of your Word. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding, that we may be made better for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, you recall the purpose of this letter of Jude was challenging people to earnestly contend for the faith. And the problem was that people had crept into the church, and these were ungodly people, false teachers and unbelievers. And Jude warns that believers will somehow have to take a stand, or sometime have to take a stand against these people or be overwhelmed by these people. That's why I say the title of the message are Poisonous People. There are poisonous people to a church. People that are not good for a church, but rather will tear the church down. See, the reality is there are some people who are serious about their faith. There are some people who are not serious about their faith. And the danger is those who are not serious can lead to the failure of those who are serious. And so that's the point to writing this letter. There are certain people who are destructive and poisonous for a church. And he just went down a list. Number one, people who are poisonous are people of unbelief. Now, notice I said people of unbelief. We're not talking about people who believe in God, but people who do not believe God. There's a difference. Okay? A lot of people will say they believe in God. But these same people will say they don't believe everything that's in the Bible. They don't believe everything that's inspired of the Bible. I'll give you an example. Jude gave us an example there in verse 5. And as he shared with us of the nation of Israel. Israel was delivered, he said, from Egyptian bondage by the power of God and brought to the border of the promised land. And it was at that point that they had a decision to make. As they stood at the banks of the Jordan River, they were faced with a decision. On the one hand, they could believe God and go in and possess the land that God was going to give them. On the other hand, they could reject God's promise and in unbelief suffer the consequences of that rejection. God told them He would lead them, that He would bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, that they would receive a good land, a large land. It was all theirs. All they had to do was go in and get it. But then they sent in the spies. And we know the story, the book of Exodus, how the spies went in and they returned after seeing the land. And they all said, yes, it's a great land. I mean, it's a land that produced a group of grapes that they had to carry on a stick between two people. Now, that's grapes, you know. But only two of the men who went, Joshua and Caleb, came back saying, we can go in and take this land. The rest of them said, there are giants in the land. We can't stand up. We're like bugs standing up against men like that. And so who do you think the whole nation of Israel believed? Did they believe the ones that said, let's go do it? Or did they believe the ones that said, we can't do it? Of course, they believed the ones that said, we can't do it. The ones who did not believe God. And those leaders, those same men, wanted to organize or reorganize and go back to Egypt, where just a short time before they were crying out to God, God, get us out of here. And now they want to reorganize it. Oh, we had it made back in Egypt. And as a result of unbelief, everybody 20 years of age and over died in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. That unbelief cost the whole nation of Israel an entire generation. Now, here's the lesson for us. Their sin, of course, was unbelief. I challenge you. We're talking about people in church, okay? Talking about church people. That's the warning here that Jude's giving. Beware of those who are always negative. Those who always have the attitude of we can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it, no matter what God wants us to do. You know what people I'm talking about. It's those people that not only are they the we can'ters, they're stuck on what's wrong with the church. You know? They look around and say, well, you know, those people over there, or that person, or that preacher, or Brother Dale, or it's always negative tearing down God's church. The problem is, they're like the children of Israel. They have no desire to go in and receive the promise of God. You know what I figured out about church? I figured out that God's people can do whatever God wants them to do. Period. Took me a long time to figure that out. But I look back at the history of Victory Baptist Church, and you know where you some you know a lot of you know where you came from. You started in a little restaurant over there, and you look at where God has brought this church today in 30 years. It's pretty amazing. But along the way, let me ask you something. Did you hear people say, oh, we can't do that? Oh, we can't start a church. Oh, we won't be able to sustain a church. Oh, we won't be able to pay a preacher. Oh, we won't be able to build a building. We can't. It's those kind of people that will destroy the progress of a church. It is. Especially when you know God is leading in a direction. Now, I'm not talking about being ridiculous. I'm not talking about doing something because we want to do it. I'm talking about doing what God leads us to do. Listen, if God is our God, and He is, there is no limit upon what a church can do. You just have to know how to deal with those who don't believe God. Okay? Those people are poisonous. Number two, you have to... the other group that's poisonous in the church are people of rebellion. Verse 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Of course, the sin of those angels was rebellion. God had had created these angels, given them a realm of authority, and these angels, led by Satan himself, stepped out of that realm that God had assigned them to and revolted against the God of heaven. I think we're talking about Isaiah 14:13, where Satan led that revolt. He said, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north." What'd Satan do? He wanted to ascend his throne to be equal with or even above God. He rebelled against God. Well, see, the thing was, God created angels. Fact is, if you create something, you have the right to assign that something its program, right? As their creator, he had the right to direct the course of their lives. And they openly rebelled against their God and creator. Lesson for us. You cannot serve God and rebel against God. Okay? It does not work. Example, marriage. I love marriage. Don't you? Come on, guys. Don't you love being married? There you go. But there's an order that God has set to marriage. That order is, we believe, one man, one woman. Where do we get that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Then chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and a mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What is it? It's a man and it's a woman joining together, coming together as one flesh. Nowhere in the Bible is there made an opportunity for two men to come together. Nowhere in the Bible is there an opportunity for two women to come together. But it's being accepted in churches today. And the reason is because in our culture, homosexuality is no longer sinful. And the sad part is, churches have fell for it, even to the point of having homosexual pastors. How did this happen to our churches? Go back to verse 4 in the book of Jude. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn from the grace of our God into lewdness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What's happened? Our pulpits failed. Therefore, our churches failed. Poison got into the church, and now there is no standard in the church anymore. And because of that, I mean, look, nationwide churches are failing. It's because of poison people. Unless you say, "Brother Doug, yeah, hey, you know, we want everybody to come." Yes, we do. We do. We want everybody to come and hear the truth. But we will proclaim the truth. You know? Number 3. Poisonous people in church are people of immorality. Go back to verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He's talking about, of course, the immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah having given themselves over to immorality. That phrase, given over, it's talking about they were given over to a lifestyle. Listen. Anybody can fall. Okay? We can fall. From the pulpit to the pew. We have to be on guard, you know, because we're still living in a sinful world. The good news is that when you fall, there's still forgiveness. Okay? So I'm not preaching this from the standpoint of, we're a church full of perfect people, because we're not. We are scarred, and we are all susceptible to failure. What we're talking about here is people who are choosing a lifestyle. They're not falling. They're choosing a lifestyle of immorality. They don't care what's right or wrong. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't care what's right or wrong. They chose their immorality. And the result of their choice was eternal fire. Well, God judges sin, like I said this morning. Listen, if you can live like the devil, and I say this caringly, if you can live like the devil without conviction or correction from God, you better check your salvation. Okay? I say, I'm not saying people can't fall. But I am saying you can't live like the devil and be pleasing to God at the same time. All right? The lesson for us. This is where I make people really angry. I've done it numerous times in 28 years as a pastor. And how I wind up doing is people approach me, "Brother Doug, we want to join Victory Baptist Church." And it's not just happened at Victory. It's happened numerous times here, but it's happened numerous times at other churches that I've pastored. We want to join Victory Baptist Church. And then they share with me that a lifestyle of immorality that they have taken. Living together outside of marriage, homosexuality, things of that nature. And I say, "Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You cannot be a member of Victory and live that style of sinful life." And there's a reason, okay? The response is usually, "Brother Doug, who do you think you are judging me?" Listen, number one, I care enough for you to tell the truth, okay? If I didn't tell you the truth, I wouldn't care. It means I don't care. Kind of like my kids. I'm going to try to stop them from making a horrible mistake because I care about them. And I owe you the same respect. I care enough to tell you the truth. But number two, God said to His people, "I'm holy, you be holy." There is supposed to be a standard of holiness among God's people. You see, the church, Victory Baptist Church, has a reputation in the city of Russellville. And the way that Victory has a reputation is not by driving by the church here on occasion. The way that they have a reputation is they watch what I do. They watch what you as a member do. And if they see me involved in immorality, guess what? They're not only going to judge me as being a hypocrite, they're going to judge the whole church as being a hypocrite. And they're saying, if that's what their God is, I don't want any part of it. You see, we're all being watched to see if we live what we say we believe. And we're supposed, as the world looks at us, we're supposed to be a people who are different, who are holy. A people who do not live according to the standard of the world, but according to God's standard. Like I said, you know, in the beginning, I qualified this. Any of us can fall, but it must be the heart desire of God's church to live a godly life. Okay? That has to be. And the other reason that we don't accept it is because immorality is not something that will remain isolated. Okay? Galatians 5:9 says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." If one person does it, somebody else is going to do it. And somebody else is going to do it. And somebody else is going to do it. Numerous people are going to do it. First thing you know, we do have a church full of hypocrites. Folks, that's not who we are as children of God. Amen? We want to set a godly example. And I hope you understand, when I say poisonous people, I don't mean to be harsh. But I do mean to be factual. There are people who are bad for the church. And it is the responsibility of the church to watch out for such people. Now, am I saying that a homosexual cannot come to church? Oh, no, we'd love for you to come to Victory. We'd absolutely love you. But you can't be a member of Victory. And we're going to love you enough while you're here to share the truth with you at Victory. You're saying that, Brother Doug, if I'm involved in a sexual relationship, that I shouldn't come to Victory? Oh, no, please come. But understand, we love you enough to tell you the truth when you get here. Are you saying, Brother Doug, that if I've rebelled from Christ, I shouldn't come? No, please come. But you understand this. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We meet because Jesus died for our sins. That's what all this is about. It's about Jesus Christ. Today, I want to remind you, it can be that way. In a church, but it can also be that way in your personal life. Listen, I want to say there are some people that are not good for you. And I know that we all have the responsibility. I think it's important that we have lost friends, okay? That we share Jesus Christ with the world. But I also think it's noteworthy that there are some people that can tear you down and be a bad influence upon you if you spend a lot of time with them. Okay? We as God's people have a responsibility. And that responsibility is not let the poison get in our lives and not let the poison get in the Lord's church. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you, listen, God loves you. No matter what you've done, God loves you. He loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for your sins. You may have always thought, well, you know, that religion and they're just judgmental. No, listen. The problem is not that churches point a finger at you and condemn you. The problem is not that God condemns you. The problem is you're condemned already because of your sin. Okay? That's what Jesus said, John chapter 1. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came because the world was condemned already. And He came to deliver you from that condemnation. How did He do that? He went to the cross of Calvary to be the substitution for you to pay your sin debt. And now, today, because of that great love and because of that sacrifice, Jesus offers you salvation. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you're here tonight. You've got to make a decision. I beg you, choose Jesus. Jesus loves you. And He gave His all so that you could have eternal life. Don't walk out of here lost. Our Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the day. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us as Your children to be diligent. That, Lord, we'll not portray to the world that we're bitter toward sinful men. But at the same time, Lord, help us to be cautious and on guard that we not allow ungodliness to tear down Your church. And Father, I pray for those that are here tonight that do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that they would come to You for salvation tonight, right here, right now, that You would convict them of sin, and that, Lord, they would respond to You. Lord, we love You, and we praise You for the sacrifice that You made so that we could have eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?